Gutavach, thank you for joining. This is Reuven Wolf from Mayon Yisrael Hasidic Center in Los Angeles, California, a center geared to the spreading of the teachings of Hasidus. This shiur tonight, a second shiur in a trial period. Last week we gave the shiur in Yiddish, this week it's a shiur in English. If you like the shiur and you'd like it to continue on a weekly basis, please go to our website at mayon.com, that's M-A-A-Y-O-N.com. Send us an email or make a contribution, but please specify that this is for the radio program, that you would like to be a sponsor and a broadcast partner with us. This week, as last week, I've chosen a piece of Tanya that relates to the Parsha. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Vayishlach. So the opening of this perek is this. First of all, it's in the fourth chelik of Tanya. It's in the chelik called Igeres HaKodesh. It is the second perek, the second letter. It begins with Katainti Mikol HaChasadim, which is a pasuk in this week's parsha. Now this piece is related to the time that we're in right now. Tonight is Yudches Kislev, the night of Yudches, a day before Yudches Kislev, the 19th of Kislev, the great Chag HaGeulah, the day of the redemption of the Alter Rebbe of Reb Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the author of the Tanya, in which he was redeemed from his imprisonment in Tsarist Russia. There was an accusation at that time. There was, as the early days of Hasidism, there was great opposition against the Hasidic movement. Those that opposed Hasidism saw that the Hasidic movement was unstoppable, so they slandered the Alter Rebbe to the Russian government, accusing him of treason, that he was trying to make himself a king and sending money to Turkey, and thereby he would rebel against the Tsar. The Alter Rebbe was arrested, and finally, on the day of Yudches Kislev, he was liberated. Now, when the Alter Rebbe came back home from his imprisonment, when he came home from Petersburg, he sent a letter to the Hasidim, giving them clear instructions of how they should, their attitude and their feeling that they need to be, that they need to have now, post his liberation. And this is this letter. So the discourse begins as follows. Katainti mikola chasadim and mikola emes. Now, just one more important observation. Being that there was a great, this imprisonment was a result of a very grave machlokas, of a great fight that was going on in the Jewish camp between the two parts, between the Hasidim and the Misnagdim, those that were against the Hasidic movement. And there was a lot of animosity and a lot of hatred. It was very, very nasty. And over here, the Hasidim had a victory. They triumphantly had their Rebbe was liberated, and now they could, Hasidus was able to take on a whole new momentous life force and a powerful surge in Russia. So the natural state that what would have, should have done to the Hasidim is it would have made them feel superior to their brothers, superior to the other Jews, the non-Hasidim, and to feel that they're greater, that we won. They should have a feeling of nitzchinus, a feeling of victory over the others. And in this discourse, or in this letter, his public letter, he's warning the Hasidim that chas v'shalom, God forbid, they shouldn't have that feeling. And let's see as he explains it over here. So Yaakov is coming back from Lavan's house and he's preparing his first confrontation with Esav. He's afraid that Esav was going to harm him or kill him and his family. So he davens to Hashem. But the wonder is, Yaakov is first explaining, why is he davening? Why is he pleading with Hashem for mercy to save him when it is clear that Hashem had promised him earlier that he will save him? I will save you and all that you, you know, wherever you will go, and will be with you, and I will return you to your father's house. So why is he worried? So Yaakov says, it is because I feel very small as a result of the great miracles you have done for me. Because you have done so much kindness to me, the emes, so much truth, you have kept your promises. And beyond that, above and beyond that, you've done such favor and such goodness to me. And therefore, I feel like I have, as Rashi explains, katainti means my merits have been minimized. I've used up all my credit. And therefore, I don't feel like I have any credit anymore to deserve another miracle on your part. That's the simple meaning of Rashi explains the word katainti. However, the Alter Rebbe and his explanation over here is that katainti means I have become small. Not my merits have become small, but my existence, who I am, I have become smaller as a result of all the kindness that you have done for me. And he relates this situation, just like Yaakov is saying, I have become smaller, as he will explain why, as a result of the kindness that Hashem has shown to him. So he says the same thing as a result of what Hashem has done for us in this great miraculous salvation. We, me, myself, as the one who has received this miracle, and the entire Hasidic movement should feel humbled and small and in front of their brethren and not haughty and not with pride, as derived from katointi mikol hachasadim. Let's see why. Katointi mikol hachasadim, I've become smaller. Mikol hachasadim, from all the kindness. Umikol chulu, and from all, and he's indicating the rest of the pasuk. Emes, and all the truth that you have done to me. Piddish, and the meaning is shabachol chesed v'chesed shakadosh baruch hu oisa la'adam. Every kindness that Hashem does to a person, tzarech liyo shval ruach b'ma'oy. The person has to feel humbler. Very much. A person has to become more humble as a result of the kindness that Hashem does for a person. Which means that when a person is a recipient of a special favor, when something extra good happens to a person, instead of what we might think, the usual feeling is usually when people are broken, when they're going through hardships and difficulties, that causes a person to be humbled before Hashem. But when a person is experiencing a good life, when things are going good for someone, generally it can create an inflation of the ego. So the Rebbe is saying that the opposite, when Hashem is acting extra kind to a person, then it has to bring a person to a greater humility. He says to feel like a shval ruach, very lowly. Why? Why is that? So he explains. Ki chesed roya yamina, because we know that chesed is Hashem's right arm. Kabbalistically, every attribute relates to another aspect of the body. And therefore, in Pasach Eliyo, when it's speaking about the godly attributes, it says that the attribute of chesed, of Hashem, is the right side. It's Hashem's yamin, Hashem's right side. And we know that what? And that the energy from the right, the midas chesed, what does it do? It's an Indian of chibuk. Chazal say yamin mekareves, that the right side draws close, u'smoil doicha, and this left side pushes away. So the right is an Indian of kirov, of bringing close, like an idea of a chibuk. A chibuk is a hug, an embrace. When you're embracing someone, you're drawing them close to you. Which means to say that when Hashem has acted kindly to a person, it doesn't only mean that Hashem delivered a salvation, it means that Hashem has just embraced you, Hashem has just hugged you, Hashem has just brought you close. And therefore, so what happens as a result of this closeness, as he explains, it literally is a closeness of Hashem. B'yeser se'es, with greater intensity, milofanim, from before. Which means yidin b'chlal, a Jew is always close to Hashem. There's no yid that's really far from Hashem. But when Hashem shows kindness to a person, Hashem has drawn you closer than you were before. The chola karev el Hashem, and the closer that someone gets to Hashem, the yeser se'es, with greater intensity. V'hagavam l'may l'mayla, and if they're elevated higher, which means the greater the chesed is. Sometimes a person is in tzaris, in other words, you're having tzaris in parnasa, you're having tzaris in a lack of health, and you find the right doctor, you find the right remedy, you find a heal, something that heals, or parnasa comes from some unexpected way. So you see the ashgacha pratis, you can see that Hashem has orchestrated it. That's a chesed. It's more of a revealed godliness. But sometimes it's beyond that. It's a mamish, a miracle. There is no explanation at all, literally a miracle. So when there's a miracle, it means it's a greater display of chesed. So he says, that's called hagava, the mila, higher and higher. In this case, there was no chances for the Rebbe's survival. I mean, he was accused of treason, and the Tsarist Russia in those days, no one came out of that prison alive. And here, the Rebbe came out, and he was completely vindicated. So this was incredible chesed, lamayla, he was elevated so high. Therefore, as a result, and the higher the chesed is, tzarech liyos yoyser shval ruach lamata, a person has to be a greater shval ruach, even more lower, and feel humbler, more and more than what he was before. The greater, the higher one is elevated, the lower a person should feel. As it says, "Merachoyk Hashem nirali," from a distance Hashem appears to me, which really means Hashem nirali. When Hashem appears to me, what does it make? What kind of feeling does a person have? It makes a person feel rachoyk, that they are far, that they are distant. Why should a person feel distant and far as a result of a chesed that Hashem has done to them? So he explains it like this: the kula kamei dafke kolach hashiv. All before him precisely is considered like naught. What does that mean? This is Lashon HaZoyar, Kula Kamei Kolach Shiv. All before him is not. The meaning is, we know the expression, Einoid Movade, there's none but Hashem. What do you mean there's none but Hashem? There's a world, there's me, there's you, there's all the creations, there's a few billion people in the world. And then if you're taking all the spiritual creations, I'm Alachim, it's endless. So what does it mean there's none but Hashem? The answer is that from Hashem's perspective, Kamei, the way Hashem sees it, is that literally there's nothing but him. Why? So there's a few steps to this. Number one, all of existence is continuously dependent on Hashem to create it. As explained in Shara Yichud V'Amunah, in the earlier place in Tanya, that the creation is an ongoing, perpetual thing. The creation has to receive divine vitality, a godly energy has to flow into the universe every second to make it exist. That's number one. Step number two is that the energy that Hashem puts into creation is but a minute crumb of a crumb of a crumb of Hashem's infinite power and Hashem's infinite potential. So therefore, all of creation is only a tiny little crumb, so small, so insignificant, that it is compared to a drop in the middle of the ocean. And even the drop in the middle of the ocean is not exact, is not a good marshal. Because a drop, one tiny little speck of water in the depth of miles and miles, the depth of the ocean, middle of the, how much water? What is the significance of one little drop? Nothing. Especially when it's in the ocean, it's submerged in the ocean. But yet, it's still a tiny bit of the ocean. But the energy that Hashem put into creation is not even a drop of a drop of a drop. And the creation is still submerged in Hashem's infinite light. To explain this well, this is another portion of Tanya, but this is the idea. Therefore, when Hashem looks at the creation, he sees that the creation is naught and nullified and has no existence at all. And it's the entire existence of creation is that tiny little speck, and that little speck is nothing as it is submerged in Hashem's light. So kula kameh kalach shev, all before him is nothing. However, if that's the case, why do we feel our existence? Why do I feel myself? Why do you feel yourself? Why do we all feel ourselves very much? The answer is because Hashem creates the world. The way in which he creates the world is that he sends his energizing light and his vitality through many tzimtzumim. He puts many curtains and veils that obscure and filter his light, that by the time it comes down into the world, and especially by the time it comes down to the physical world, at the very, very, very tail end of creation, the Hashem's light is blocked. And when you don't feel Hashem, then you feel yourself. In other words, this that we're able to feel ourselves is because the obscurity of Hashem's light, the more, the denser, the veils, which means the more Hashem's light is hidden from the creation, the less kamei you are, the more you're not standing in front of Hashem, the more one has an ego, the more a person feels himself. The more a person sees themselves as they're standing in front of Hashem, then in front of Hashem, you see how einoid mavadeh does not bear him. So the reason why we're living in a state of metzias, of a state of feeling ourselves, is because Hashem is relating to us through veils and curtains. But when Hashem does a chesed, what does it mean? Hashem removes the veil, especially if it's a miracle, especially if it's something that you can see clearly that this is an act of divinity, which means Hashem parted the curtains. And parted the curtains, which means now you're standing, kameh, now you're standing in front of Hashem. When you stand in front of Hashem, you realize how naught and nothing all of the universes, all the spiritual universes, all the malachim, srafim, maifanim, chayas hakodesh, the greatest angelic beings, sublime, who serve Hashem with such, who are so magnificent, but in front of Hashem, they're nothing. So definitely a person feels himself how minuscule and absolute nothing they are. The imken, as he says, kol shu kamei yoyser, the more before you are, in front of Hashem you are, hu yoyser kala, the more like not, v'ayin, and nothing, the ephes and literally non-existent, a person feels. And that is the feeling of the right side of holiness, which means in the realm of the holy, whoever belongs to holiness, when they are receiving from Hashem's right side, which means when they are recipients of Hashem's kindness, the consequential feeling that you feel as a result of that kindness is that you feel more humble, less. The ego is deflated. It becomes you become less of a being in yourself. Because you feel Hashem more, you feel Hashem more, you become more nothing. The chesed l'Avram, and that's the kindness of Avram. Avram, we know, is the personification of chesed. He is the channel of Hashem's chesed. And when Avram was kind, it wasn't stand that he was a kind person, emulating Hashem. Avram was literally channeling through his neshama, Hashem's kindness was coming through Avram Avinu. Since Avram Avinu was a channel to Hashem's chesed, and what is chesed? Chesed is revelation, closeness. That means Hashem was so vividly, sharply experienced in Avram's neshama. So that's why do we find, besides Avram being the kindest person, Avram was the humblest, or second to Moshe Rabbeinu, he's the humblest. Avram says about himself, Sha'amar, he says, Anoichi ofa v'efer, I am dust and ashes. Why did Avram feel like he's dust and ashes? Precisely because he was a recipient of Hashem's chesed. That's why he felt like nothing. And that was also the motivation of Avram's chesed. When Avram did kindness to other people, it was because he felt that other people are more important than him. He felt like dust and ashes. He felt insignificant. Everybody was more important to him. Why? Because when you stand in front of Hashem, you feel your nothingness. This is also the midah of Yaakov, that he also feels that way. And with this he excuses himself, or with this he justifies. Why is he afraid of Esav? Hashem had promised him, and it wasn't enough to him. When Hashem promised him that I'm going to be with you, I'm with you, because Yaakov was very, 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 very small in his own eyes, machmas ribu yachasadim, because of the multitude of kindness that Hashem did for him. What was the kindness? Ki b'makli, because when I left to my father's house, to Lavan's house, when I ran away from Esau, Eliphaz came and robbed him, and Yaakov was left only with his staff. Literally, he was penniless. He was a pauper. All he had was a stick in his hand. And now, when I'm coming back from Lavan's house, 20 years later, I have a huge family. I have possessions. He has amassed a fortune. He says, what an unbelievable chesed Hashem did to me. So, Yaakov feels a godly revelation. The more godly revelation you feel, the more nothing you become. So Yaakov feels now, I'm so undeserving for the miracle. So that's why he's davening and begging Hashem to do give him an undeserving, save him, even though he doesn't deserve it. And even more than that, ve'ene royu kedai klali notzel, and he's not worthy and fitting at all to be saved. That Yaakov felt that maybe the sin caused, shenidme be'enav shachata, he appears to his eyes that he sinned. Not that he did an aver. Yaakov didn't do any averes. Yaakov is looking at even his avodas Hashem, even his mitzvahs, even his Torah study, whatever he did, he looked at it as if it's a sin. It appeared to him as a sin. Why? Because when you recognize the awesomeness of Hashem and you're standing right in front of Hashem, then you realize that even the perfect service of an angel is still inadequate. Even because how much humility, how much aim of a yira, what kind of dread did he have? What kind of awe and fear did he have when he did a mitzvah? What kind of love? It's lacking. It's not with the ultimate, it's not with the purest purity. It's not with the excitement that he should have felt when he's serving Hashem. So even the mitzvah becomes an aver in his own eyes because of his feeling of loneliness that he feels to himself as a result of what? Of godly revelation. Which isn't the case on the other side, who you're Shmuel. We know that everything that exists in Kedusha exists in the Klipa, in the unholy as well. So in the unholy, there is also Chesed. Yishmael is the personification of Chesed, of the unholy side. He's a son of Avram. So he has the essential features of Avram, which is Chesed, but it is in a Klipa dig way. It's in an impure way. Chesed the Klipa. He's the Chesed of Klipa. Kol Shah Chesed Gadol, the greater the Chesed is, who Hoylech V'Gadol, what happens to someone who is of the unholy realm, the more he is showered with divine kindness, the more his ego inflates. Who Hoylech V'Gadol, he becomes greater in himself, B'goiva, with pride, V'Gasus, and haughtiness, V'Gasus Aruach, and haughtiness, V'Roichev Libo, and he becomes broader and more important in his own eyes. And therefore, and that's why Yishmael, it says the difference when Yishmael did chesed, Yishmael was also a philanthropist. But unlike Avram Avinu, who his philanthropy came from his unimportance of his own eyes, and therefore two things. First of all, Avram gave everything away to others, and he only left for himself the bare minimum. Number two, when Avram did it, it's because he cares for every person really truthfully. He gave it because he wanted them to have it, because they deserve it more than him. When Yishmael did chesed, it was, first of all, he took the boat for himself. But now he was such a rich guy, so he had extra, from extra, why not get himself a name and be written up in all the papers that he is the big philanthropist and he's the big doer and he's so kind. So he did it for his own aggrandizement of his own existence, making himself more important. And also he gave only what was extra. And that is Yishmael. And therefore, the Yishmael's attitude also is the more kindness that he's receiving from Hashem. That's what Klipa is. Klipa doesn't recognize its source. It's living in denial. It's living in blockage, in concealment. It separates itself. So therefore, when it receives the more goodness that it's receiving, instead of feeling more the source from where that goodness is coming, it feels itself more. And therefore, Basim and Amedim, the Alter Rebbe, is now coming to announce, Maidor Rabba, a great announcement, Lekolos Anash, to all of his followers. And he's saying to them like this, we have now been a recipient of an incredible miracle that Hashem has done. The kindness that Hashem has showered upon us is extraordinary kindness. On Ribu Yachasadim, on the abundance of kindness, Hashehigdol Hashem Lasei Simanu, that Hashem has done such kindness with us. So therefore, we should chas v'shalom not ruin it by receiving it in a klipadiga fashion, an unholy fashion, by becoming haughty and feeling, you see, our team won, chas v'shalom, but lechoy b'midois of shal Yaakov. We should hold on to the midois of Yaakov, who she'er amoy, that Yaakov feels himself like the remnants of his people, remnants, like something left over. V'she'eris Yisrael, and the leftover of Yisrael, which means Yaakov feels, Yisrael feels like she'eris, like something left over. She'meisim atzmei kishirayim, he makes himself like remnants, like little pieces of something that have no use for it for anymore. Like the leftover bricks when you finish building a house, it's leftover bricks and nothing to do with it anymore, leftover paint. Yaakov felt to himself like, I'm nothing. Who am I to deserve anything? And therefore, the Rebbe says we should feel the same way. And like leftovers, mamish, ain't but shum tzayrach, that has no need. Lebiltirum levavam, that they shouldn't, their heart should not be exalted me'achem, from their brothers, that they should feel greater chas v'shalom, have a superiority complex to others. Ve'loy la'archev aleim peh, and not to broaden one's mouth. Or lisrek aleim chas v'shalom, which means to speak with haughtiness, or lisrek aleim, or to whistle. Even just a tiny little smirk, just a little something, huh? That showing how we won, that is not kosher. One should refrain of mentioning it at all, giving any type of indication of that kind of attitude. It's with an awesome warning. Quite on the contrary, the opposite. You should lower your spirit, v'libam, in your hearts, with the truth of Yaakov, which means you shouldn't make believe you're feeling humble. You should literally work on yourself to emistic feel lower than any person that may call Adam in front of everybody. Even those who had perpetrated this very, very terrible thing, bringing about the Rebbe's arrest. And therefore, and now, Baruch Hashem, you know, the Rebbe has been vindicated, so it's such a great thing, but you shouldn't feel in any way that you're superior. Adarabah, you should feel lower, midemichas ruach, with a lowitz of spirit, uman rach, and a very soft answer, meshev chema, will remove the anger. Which means, as we know, that when someone speaks, when someone comes to yell at someone else, and you answer the other person calmly and softly with respect to them, so that diffuses the anger. So the Rebbe is saying over here that Chassidim shouldn't, even though they would be yelled upon and acute, they shouldn't answer Chas V'Sholom with any kind of rage. Quite on the contrary, with a soft response, and that will change the attitude. V'ruach necheya, and a lowliness of spirit. U'kula hai v'ulai, and this is possible that it will have an effect. Yitin Hashem b'leiv acheyim, Hashem will give it in the heart of their brothers. Kemayim aponim, like the face shown in water reflects back. Just like when you're looking into a mirror, you're looking into the water, you see the reflecting face. So if you feel humble to your brothers will feel humble to you as well. If you feel loving and caring to your brothers, they will feel that way as well, which will bring about the end of this machloikis, this terrible machloikis, and will unify the Jewish people. If anybody wants to become a partner with us, whoever wants the shiur to continue and you'd like to sponsor, please go to mayon.com, M-A-A-Y-O-N, and send us an email or send a contribution. Specify that this is specifically for the radio shiur to continue on Matzah Shabbos. Thank you. Agud Tevach.